T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, welcome back here to the 7 o'clock hour on a Friday. So the Marlins lose 5-1 yesterday. They take 2 out of 3 from the Brewers. We don't see this very often, and some teams are really strict on it, and some teams will have a little fun with social media on their accounts, on their team accounts. But the Brewers decided yesterday, Christian Yelich hit a home run to help him win, and has just been, since getting traded to Milwaukee, all he's done is win a National League MVP. And right now, you'd have to say he's up there for the first half MVP in the National League.
Yes.
Again, hits another home run yesterday. So they said, they sent out something. Thanks for Christian Yelich, National League MVP.
Basically, the entire tweet was, hey, at Marlins, this home run just reminded us that we never said how much we appreciate you for bringing Christian Yelich into our lives. Thanks for the NL MVP. Hashtag, this is my crew. And the Marlins responded with, let us know when he hits a 16-run home run. Like, it was a good comeback.
That was off reference that the Marlins won 16-0.
Yes.
Won their games and had been scoring a lot of runs.
That was a pretty savage tweet by the Brewers, and a really good comeback from the Marlins. But man, I never realized how like these social media accounts for the teams and everything, they really go at each other, and it's kind of funny once in a while. But if you're the owner of a team or the GM of a team or something like that, do you want that out there like that? Like, does it matter to that? I mean, I don't know if it matters.
I think Milwaukee understands that they've got to know the Marlins are getting pounded pretty good for letting Christian Yelich go.
Oh, of course, yes.
Not that Christian Yelich was even close to this good offensively when he was here. I mean, he was really good. They talked about someday he was going to lead the league in hitting, all those things, and one of the greatest natural swings that there is in baseball. We've heard all that stuff. He's a former first-round pick of the Marlins. But, I mean, he's gone on. If somebody's going to tell me they saw this coming.
No, stop.
That he was going to go through a year and a half of playing at this level, just basically putting this Milwaukee team on his back. And doing what he's been able to do has been pretty amazing. Got him to the playoffs, and they're having another good year. But, yeah, the Yelich thing, it's not – the Marlins have hurt so much. Nobody even talks about Ozuna's, who's having a good year. Stanton has been hurt and more hurt. And so nobody's talked much about that. D. Gordon's out in Seattle. Nobody talks much about Seattle baseball. No. So that one – and Real Muto, you know, is really good. We gave up last guy to leave and has been turned in one of the best catchers over the last couple years in baseball. But nothing's been.
No, like Yelich.
The Christian Yelich is the only one to get thrown in your face all the time. And of course, everybody talks about what did you get back? And, you know, well, we got to wait. We still got some of your prospects, and it's going to take a while. And we still feel good about this deal. And Brinson's going to be coming up here pretty soon again. He's getting his batting average back up around 300. So he's expected to be coming back to the big leagues here anytime soon. But, yeah, this is Wes Welker bad look.
Yeah, no. It might even be worse at this point, because if Yelich wins another MVP and you go the two-time defending MVP, it almost might be worse. I mean, Welker just had a nice long career after that where he was breaking records. And, you know, I don't think he won the Super Bowl with the Patriots, but he did with Denver. Or, I don't know, opposite, I'm not sure. But the stats for Welker were ridiculous. But Yelich is going to have these two trophies, possibly, of being the MVP of the league 2 years after you got rid of him.
Yeah.
The first 2 years.
You know what? Football's obviously a lot more popular around here, so that Wes Welker had 660 catches with New England once he left here, which just hit you in the head.
Jeez.
But the Yelich deal, and he, Christian Yelich wanted out. He made it real clear, like, I want out of here. I'm not going to be the last. I'm not going to be the real Muto of this team and be the last guy I can give you a year. I want out now. I'm done. And of course, went on and has played great. You're able to get something back. The Wes Welker deal.
Samson's Italian Abraham Wright.
The Wes Welker deal.
That's what you got for him.
Made you look real bad.
Horrible.
Forget size. And of course, now we've seen nobody. Does anybody in football use their slot receiver better?
No.
Than what?
Nope.
Than what you get in New England?
No. It's not even close.
Been unbelievable. And I saw actually NFL Network had Wes Welker's story, and I went, oh my God.
Wes even got his own story.
They even did a story, the Wes Welker story. You know, and everything that happened and how it worked out for him and stuff. So
someone texted in, worst trade, the Cabrera one or Yelich. I mean, Cabrera went on to win a Triple Crown, and
that was
pretty bad too.
That's a good one. That was real bad. And by the way, everybody saw how good he was going to be. But again,
you didn't know that Yelich would be this good, right? But you knew Cabrera was going to end up being a really good player at some point. Did you ever think that? Like,
Cabrera's one of the greatest hitters in the history of baseball.
But when he left,
comes out of rehab or getting up to 300 pounds because he's always got a weight problem.
Yep.
And he hits 300. He guy's a natural hitter, man.
But you didn't think Yelich would leave here and then all of a sudden become the MVP of the NL and then another year after that be the front runner for the MVP again for 2 years in a row.
Well,
that's the difference in that.
I didn't, but the real difference is the Marlins knew how good both guys were.
Sure.
One guy wanted out and they couldn't afford the other guy. Cabrera got paid.
Well, you're not giving him $300 million, that's
why. Cabrera, by the way, still getting paid, and he's injured, and he can't stay healthy, and he's not as productive, and all those years of not being in shape and not taking care of himself, which he is notorious for. It's no secret.
No, I don't think it's a secret to anybody.
He left here, and he got hammered going up to camp, you know, and he got DUI up there. They found him, you know.
It's bad.
Hanging out somewhere in one of those stops up there. And, he's had all kinds of problems. But the guy, you know, has had a Hall of Fame career. Cabrera's going to be
Yelich's on his way now.
And I don't know what's going to happen with Yelich. He keeps going and stuff. Yeah, those three stick out. That's a good one, by the way.
Three of the worst trades in the history of sports.
By our text message. Yeah. But we couldn't afford to keep him. Yeah. That was another – the Marlins knew how good Cabrera was. It just got down to – we can't. Now, the problem has been the guys you get back and the Cabrera deal. Miller actually became a lot better pitcher later on, but right away was wild and didn't have great control, had great stuff, but had no control. So,
and Cameron Maben, right? That was the other guy in
Maben
the trade.
Just has been a
up-and-down guy for years.
Just a nice guy and nice player, but you never got fair value back when you're looking to get
looking
to get good players that have friendly contracts. Or,
I mean, did you get a fair trade for Welker when you got Samson Zatelli and Abraham Wright?
No.
I mean, come on.
But the Miami Dolphins had no idea what they had.
Yeah. The Marlins knew what they were trading away.
This is Belichick watching him going, oh, God, this guy, I want this guy on our team. Let's go out and get him. And we'll put him with Randy Moss. We'll get him because everybody said Randy Moss is done.
Done.
And they went up and put the greatest numbers in the history of the NFL up.
17-0, Joe. Or 16-0 in the regular season.
Brady threw a zillion touchdowns, and they didn't win a championship. But that team was really good. Giants beat them in the Super Bowl.
Giants saved us all from hearing about that forever. If that team went undefeated with all those numbers.
I don't think Wes Welker won a championship.
I don't think he did. That's why I corrected myself.
But he
didn't win one. He didn't win the one in Denver, huh? The one he went out to Denver. I guess not. Yeah. Wow.
I don't know if that was
wrong.
It was
wrong team. Wrong
anyway,
time.
Yeah. But yeah, those are pretty good ones of deals you made trades and they didn't work out. I give him a little bit of hall pass on Cabrera, except for what they got back. You can't give him a hall pass on that. You got to make sure you're getting the right guys when you're giving up somebody that was that young and that talented and just put up. Look at some of his numbers. Oof. Some of the numbers he's put up in Detroit. Now, of course, they want to get rid of him at the back end of that contract on those long-term contracts going, oh, my God, what did we get? He can't stay healthy.
Well, what do you think is going to happen?
Trouble keeping his weight down.
When you give a 28-year-old a 10-year deal, what do you think is going to happen 35, 36, 37, and 38 in that deal, unless you're Barry Bonds back in the day? Like, what do you think? He's going to be overweight. He's probably going to be out of shape. He's going to be older. He's not going to hit like he did. Yet you're paying him $35 million a year. $33 million a year, whatever it is at this point, because now the balloon payments are at the end of this deal.
Yeah, you couldn't. Yeah, no. There's no question that, you know, and he's saying, hey, this is what you get at the end of a career for a guy that, first of all, didn't take great care of himself.
No.
And Father Time catches everybody, whatever combination you wanna take on that one. You know, the other thing we were talking about before with the Miami Dolphins now done with mini camp. And now everybody gets a big stretch here till July 20-something when they start camp. And a nice article today about Mike Gesicki. We've had our articles on Devontae Parker and Charles Harris. It was Mike Gesicki talking about stuff. And I love the fact that they decided to get a comment. Barry Jackson got a comment from Shane Day, who coached him last year, who seriously should have been embarrassed for the job that he did. Except showing guys where to line up, like this is where we want you to line up, just did nothing to help this kid. And so it's going to be part of it. Everybody's talked about the coaching. We're going to find out what these guys can do. They're saying all the right things about using him and what he does best and using him, you know, not trying to make him the number one blocker or anything like that, but getting him where he can be athletic and all those things act that we saw in camp and see if they can because now they've seen it in their mini camps. They've seen him jump up and make those plays, but got to figure a way to get it into the regular season and get more out of Mike Gesicki, where he can ask his coach and doesn't have to call his college coach to see if he can get some help.
How embarrassing is that?
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad that nobody knows. Nobody knew about all that craziness. Hey, by the way, we got to go to break here. Got a lot more stuff to get to here. Yesterday, I know we ended up, how many, real quickly? So this crazy thing yesterday that we were talking about our event, and they served steak at the Margaritaville to us, and Josh apparently smothered his small steak.
His petite filet.
With
ketchup.
With ketchup.
Yep.
All over it.
And so we did a Twitter poll yesterday. Is it disrespectful to put ketchup on a steak at a nice steakhouse? We had a tremendous amount of votes. 80% said yes, it's disrespectful. 20 said no. We're talking close to 2,000 votes.
Okay, so we had a lot of people in on this thing, and so today I found my friend Jason Smith, executive chef at Steak 954.
Oh, nice!
And
steakhouse.
Asked him a really good steakhouse over on the beach in Fort Lauderdale. So he's gonna come on, and we'll find out what he thinks about, you know, for people that will go in there and get these big, delicious,
expensive
steaks.
Well, the filet is
steaks.
A different kind of steak than most steaks. So, yeah, that's kind of one that I guess if a chef is going to get upset about something, it'd probably be the filet.
Listen, what did Josh tell us going out the door? He told us that he's always put ketchup on everything.
Yep.
Well, so we all did as kids.
Yeah.
Like some,
I still
some
do put it on a lot of stuff.
Get out of it. So. Yeah. Anyway, and then we had people telling us that all these nice restaurants, they don't serve ketchup, which is BS.
That's baloney.
Yeah.
There's ketchup at all the restaurants.
Every nice place, whatever steakhouse you can think of in this town, when you go this weekend, by the way, do you have ketchup here? If they're serving French fries, which they all do, French fries come with every nice steak now. There's
ketchup. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, there's no question.
It's not even a question.
So. Anyway, we'll talk to him about steak etiquette, see what he has to say about steak etiquette. I didn't ask him. I didn't want to know. I just said, hey, can you come on, and here's what's going on. And so whatever you have, just say it on the air. I don't want to know. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Taking pages from a magazine, been looking for the answers. Ever-
Hey, welcome back. Happy Friday to everybody out there. I always say this, man. Don't let anybody mess up your Friday. And no one at all. Whatever's going on.
It's a special Friday, too.
Well, I feel like there's one way to screw it up for you today.
Yeah, there is.
What?
What's going on the television right now?
It's not good.
Nadal and Federer.
Yeah, Nadal and Federer are playing in the semis over at the French Open. And
you got your game, though. Fed won a game.
Fed's was down 3-0 right off the bat. Nadal is like, just so you know, Nadal's like 93 or 94 and 2 now.
It's pretty good on clay, huh?
It matches.
Yeah. It's not a good start. This looks like you versus Ira Winderman. It's not a good start.
It's more like a Joe versus either, what, Solana or Nose, right? Like, didn't you rip both those guys bad?
No.
There's the one game they got.
It's not like that. Nobody cares. And, you know, we were talking about what's more popular. And I told you guys this morning, actually, golf's a lot more popular than tennis.
Do you see the empty seats in that stadium right now? They're scattered. I mean, you look right now, there's scattered empty seats like throughout this stadium. I thought Nadal Federer was like one of the biggest things going.
Yeah, that is weird. There is
a guy from the Tennis Channel just put out a picture.
It looks like a baseball game.
It looks like a Marlins game.
You just thought seriously.
I didn't say Marlins. I said baseball.
Be a lot more. Don't start taking shots.
No, I didn't mean to. That's why I stopped.
Got Atlanta. Come on, man. You know. Hey, by the way, Carson Wentz, 6-year, $154 million.
Oof. Good time to be a quarterback.
He's good. Listen, when he's healthy, he has been good. He's put up good numbers. Nick Foles has been finishing these years, and he wins a Super Bowl. I think he won a playoff game last year. Maybe has a chance to win another one. He gets a drop ball at the end of the game, so Nick Foles leaves as one of the great backup quarterbacks now, and now, of course, he got paid. Jacksonville, he got big dollars, but Carson Wentz ends up with his 4-year extension. He's going to have 6-year, $154.5 million, a little more than $100 million is guaranteed. So he is now set, and a big thing for him is he's got to get this team, this Philadelphia team, which, by the way, plays here at Lockhart. Boy, I said Lockhart Stadium.
You have that on your mind, huh?
I did. At least I didn't say Landshark or something like that. I would have had a big problems. But they'll be in town this year, so it'll be fun to watch Philadelphia and see what Carson Wentz, if he can stay healthy and how he plays.
That's a big question, right? Like we've seen him when he's healthy, and that 1 year before he got hurt, he was the MVP through 12 games and almost did win the MVP even with missing the last couple games of the year. But the health is the biggest thing for him. It's not the play on the field. We know what happens. But he's been hurt a lot, and he missed the Super Bowl, and he missed the next playoff run.
Those aren't minor injuries.
No, fractured back.
And
it's a lot of money to give to a guy that's iffy, right? I mean, you had to give it to him because he wouldn't stay, and someone else would give him the money.
I got this morning, looked at his stats, because I saw some people were complaining, like, man, you give Carson Wentz this kind of money. Nick Foles is the one that won all the money games. And I look and I go, you got it. He's 26 years old. You, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be really good. I'd rather take my chance than give a guy that, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be really good. Now, he hadn't been able to do it the last couple years, but they're going all in on him. And that big old insurance policy that they had is gone. Nick Foles is gone. And again, what I say, he had 33 touchdowns. I think even though he missed all those games, he still
led the league with
the 33 touchdowns. And he had 21 before that, 21 in like 7 interceptions or something. So he's put up some nice numbers when he can play. So
when he could play, isn't that a horrible thing to say about somebody you just gave $100 million to?
But I think he's learned about his running. Stop running. You know, he's running, going in for the touchdown and blew out his knee, and then he hurt his back and had a fracture in his back, so that ended the year. So, but I think we've been going through the same thing down here, and they went up and went all in on Carson Wentz, and we were part of the deal helping them get to the top and move up the ladder to get this pick. Who would you rather have right now if I said Carson Wentz or golf?
I mean, golf is good. I like golf.
You don't like golf after that New England game. Nobody liked golf after the New England game. And
who would I give? Really, the question is, who would you give the $100 million to right now if you were a team and you had the choice of either guy, right?
I just think if you think you got your guy, you got to do it. Yeah. He's only 26 years old. We still got a handful of teams, including the Miami Dolphins, trying to figure this quarterback thing out and find a franchise quarterback. If the biggest problem you have is health, at some point he's gonna be able to stay healthy, right? I mean,
that's it. He stays healthy, it's worth the money. Because he's a good quarterback in this league. He's proved that. But the problem is the health. Bad injuries. Not you know, a hammy that, you know, kept him out three games.
No.
These are serious injuries.
Right. So he is officially injury prone right now, is that, and then somebody wrote an article and said he's not a great teammate, which is kind of weird to hear, but not good, man, when you got to do that. And he finally says, I guess I got to come out and start working on relationships with players in the locker room. I just don't – every time I hear that, I just don't get where somebody has to work. Check that. Where a quarterback has to work on relationships with his teammate. Now, quarterback, they're by themselves with every other position. They have nothing in common. They spend more time with coaches. They extend to the coaches. They're a big part of game plans. They're around. They have a lot of say-so on who they want to throw to, what they want to do, all that stuff. So they do have to be different. They do have a different kind of role with the whole team. And they're going to end up, if they're good, they make a lot more money than anybody else on the team, which doesn't always sit well with other guys too. So all that stuff and trust and confidence and knowing guys got your back and believe in you is really important. So anytime somebody throws that out there, and it was an article, and some of the guys came out and said it's BS and it's not true, this guy's good and he just needs to stay healthy and everybody likes Carson. But when you have somebody leak something and say, this dude is in another world, man.
It's not a good sign. Because someone in that locker room or someone around that team
said something. Yeah, I don't think the guy made it.
This is not me and you talking, and a newspaper picks up and says, yeah, Carson Wentz might not be a great locker room guy. This is a player on the team or a coach or someone that said Carson Wentz just does not – he just doesn't fit that well with everybody.
Now, if he would have stayed healthy and won that Super Bowl –
Man forever in Philly.
Then nobody ever says anything. Nobody would have the basketballs to come out and say, this guy's not, because it's about winning and you look stupid. But the fact is he did get injured. Nick Foles is the one that became the Philadelphia hero.
Philly special.
Beats New England.
Yeah, come on.
By the way, played great in the playoffs last year again and gave his team a chance to win another playoff game and maybe go to the NFC Championship game. Would have a drop ball at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So I
Joe, Nick Foles is king in Philly forever. Like, he can always go back. He won them a Super Bowl. You know what the Eagles fans are like up there. Philly fans just in general. But for them to win that Super Bowl and Nick Foles come in as the backup, I mean, can you imagine what would go on down here if that year when Ryan was having that really good season in 16, went to the playoffs, if Matt Moore won the Super Bowl?
We had a backup. That did it right here, Earl Morrow.
That's it. The perfect season?
Earl Morrow came in. Greece got hurt. And Earl Morrow not only went on to be was a backup quarterback, he won the league MVP.
Yeah.
He, in the great year and was doing everything, and everybody was wondering what's going to happen with Greece down, and they were able, brought Earl Morrow down here. And
Not miss a beat.
Old veteran ended up with everything they're doing. So, yeah.
Very few times in the history of the NFL.
But look how popular Earl Morrow was here in town, too.
He's got a street named after him also. He's got all kinds of
stuff. Did he win mayor of Davie?
Did he really?
I think going back at one point, somebody have to help me. I believe Earl Morrow, because I used to play golf out there, and I used to see a sign that said, the mayor of Davie. I could have sworn it was Earl Morrow. I think he did. Somebody from old Davie will have to help me and
text
tell me.
Text line will have it in 2 seconds.
Earl Morrow was... Well, somebody will look it up.
Yeah.
That Earl Morrow was the Davie mayor at one point. Yeah. I'd say he was pretty popular. We got to go to break. We got Hollywood's headlines coming up here, man. We'll check in. And, of course, Mark Stevens. You ever heard that name? No, you haven't heard it till now. Mark Stevens, the Golden State investor, minority owner, who shoved Kyle Lowry and now had to pay the fine. man, he got banned for a year and paid $500,000. We'll have a lot more on that and what it's like to be a billionaire and told you can't go to a game. Imagine that.
No, no. He can't buy like a suite
by the way,
or something?
Don't guys look at him and just go,
what the hell's wrong with you?
All his rich buddies around the Bay Area, don't they go, what the F were you doing?
Yeah.
Got a great seat. You own a piece of the sexiest team in sports.
Joe, in 1989, he was elected to the Davie, Florida City Council and eventually became mayor. You were right.
Oh, good.
Look at you.
Always worried I might have
whiffed
on that one.
Who knew? Earl Morrill was the mayor of my city? Good for him.
So if you're wondering what coming back and helping your team win a Super Bowl.
Become mayor.
That's what you do.
Good for him.
That's what you do.
Radio.com. Radio.com. And now, it's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Ketchup Head, what do you got for us?
All right, did you guys see the other story, kind of social media story that came from the finals game, game three the other night? It was between Beyonce, Jay-Z, and the owner's wife.
I did see something about
it. So this went very viral here, as a lot of stuff does these days. And basically what happened was the wife of the owner is kind of leaning over a little bit over Beyonce and talking to Jay-Z. And there's a screenshot of Beyonce giving her kind of a snarl, kind of a...
Like enough?
Yeah, like kind of a little bit of a dirty look.
Stop being starstruck and watch the friggin' game. That's what we want to do.
So this story takes kind of a gross turn because this is what we do in society now. We just take people and just destroy them.
Sure.
And so the owner's wife comes out and is talking about how she was getting death threats from people. Because apparently the Beyonce fans don't take any crap.
The Beehive, yeah.
Very, very serious stuff here to defend Beyonce. Now, the owner's wife had to come out and basically say that she invited them to the game. And the only reason she was leaning over was because she was trying to get Jay-Z's drink order so she could actually go and get them drinks.
It was very nice of her.
Yeah, well, she was being a nice host.
She shouldn't have been attacked.
And Beyonce just, there's a screenshot, you know, of her giving it a little look or whatever. And Jay-Z and Beyonce's problems, I guess, have been documented.
So everybody's reading into, like, what was going on.
Her leaning over, yes.
So she had to disable her Instagram account because she's getting death threats. Like,
what is wrong? Like...
It's
why
bad.
Why is it somebody
today?
Watches that, and that decides, let me tweet on behalf of him and tell this person I'm going to beat him up? Or like, what is wrong with people?
Social media. The devil.
Social media people who follow people to a fault need to get a life, man. Yeah.
The story itself is so stupid. It's the extra part of it that's the worst. Like the death threats and all that.
Way too popular. Maybe a little too important in your life that you think you have to stick up for a group
for
of
Beyonce?
People sitting in $10,000 floor seats.
Might be more expensive than that, to be honest.
Oh, they were. They were pretty good for that game.
Might be more expensive than that.
Whatever. No. But you guys know what I'm saying.
I know,
whatever they
I know.
Cost, the fact is, why do you care wherever you are? Beyonce's just fine. She's having fun. She's a big basketball fan. And they got great seats. Why are you worried whether another wealthy woman is sitting next to him and bothers you that much that you give somebody a death threat? That makes you one of the great losers of all time.
Yeah.
The great losers.
Yeah. Not even a question.
All right, this was pretty cool here. Andy Ruiz, who just beat Anthony Joshua, has been doing the late night circuit here, and he's been doing a bunch of different interviews. And this is cool, guys. He came out and said that a bunch of his family put big bets on him to win the fight.
Good for
them. He was
going
off as an 11-1 underdog, and he said a handful of his family members all put $1,000 bets on him to win, and they all cashed in and over 10 grand.
Good for them.
Good for them, yeah.
When your family believes in you enough to do that.
That's pretty cool.
Wonder if Joshua bet against himself.
What's going to happen this second time? What's the second time
nobody
this is going to happen?
Fights. Don't say that.
Don't say that. Don't get that going.
It gets a little sticky there.
Well, they're going to have the rematch. It's going to be, you know.
Joshua's going to pound him.
Did I see in the rematch clause that, like, Joshua gets the pick where the fight is? Like, not even the champ, but he gets
that?
The pick. I don't know. It was weird because
it should be the guy that's the champion gets to call the shots, and the purse money should change a little bit.
Yeah, like, I read something where I think it's going to be, like, Joshua might have it in his home, like, in England, like, in London.
But this guy was, like, the Rocky Balboa pick here. Like,
yeah,
they didn't even want this guy in the fight. Like, he was
this
a random,
was, like, the ninth choice.
Yeah. It's like Frank Vogel with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Wasn't their first choice.
That was a nice shot there.
Nice shot.
All right, so speaking of betting, we had some odds come out on when Nick Saban could retire. You see this, Joe?
No.
And I need to know where you're putting your money here. So we have after 2019 is 14-1.
Nope.
After 2020 would be 10-1.
Mm-mm.
After 2021 or 2022, 4-1. 2023 or 2024 is 2-1. And then after 2025... is 1-1.
What's the 4-1 one again?
4-1 is going to be after the 2021 or 2022 season.
That's where I'm going. I'm betting there.
Now, before you bet, you want to hear what Nick had to say? Now, Nick is coming off, I think he had, hip surgery, right?
Yeah.
So he's coming off of surgery. Here's what Nick had to say about it.
You know, after the 6 hours I spent at home in the chair after I got home from the hospital, I think you all heard that I was outside walking around in the yard and, you know, I think Miss Terry was ready to call the police on me if I didn't get back in the house. So that's not something that I enjoyed. So, and that's not something I really want to do anytime soon, I can tell you that. But, you know, I just enjoy so much being part of a team. I enjoy so much the relationships. You know, to have Julio Jones come back, first 2 days I was doing my rehab on my hip, he was there with me doing it. You know, Tua actually came in yesterday when I was doing rehab and gave me a medical examination. So, you know, some of these things are really special. And so, no time soon. I don't know what Vegas knows that I don't know.
All right, what's the death? Is there death on there? Can you bet at that point?
He's not going. I can't believe you even put a...
4 years. I basically put 4 years from
now. He ain't going anywhere. He's got nothing else going on in his life.
Yeah, after hearing that.
Nothing going on in his life.
Is there an option for post-death? Like, he has to die to lose the job? I think I'd bet on that one now.
Stop. By the way, your face when we play sound from Nick Saban is fantastic.
You changed so much.
You got so angry, and then you basically tuned out. You started watching the tennis
again.
That's right.
That Miss Terry thing's getting old, too.
Oh, gosh.
I had a gut full of her.
Oof.
Friggin' Miss Terry. Kiss my ass.
All right, guys. We have to go to New York City for this next story here. We have a very serious situation here. 46 ice cream trucks are being seized in a New York City crackdown. It's being called Operation Meltdown.
Okay.
We got the team from the Marlins.
What happened?
That naming thing out here. So Operation Meltdown. Basically, what happened here is the operators of these ice cream trucks, the 46 ice cream trucks from 2009 to 2017, racked up 22,000 tickets and nearly $4.5 million in fines for their traffic violations. Different stuff like running red lights, parking near fire hydrants, blocking crosswalks.
Yeah, parking anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is an ice cream truck. You should be able to kind of park wherever you want.
So these guys are getting their trucks taken away. They didn't pay their fines.
Yeah.
There really is nothing better than that ice cream truck going down the street and you see like the Mr. Softy in New York. I'm in for that. I got $20 to help them out.
I don't know why I thought of Project Wolverine when I heard Operation Meltdown.
I don't know how.
Operation Meltdown is a great name.
A good name, right?
Are the ice cream trucks still around? Like when I was
once
a kid,
in a while.
I haven't seen one in a while.
They've kind of gotten a bad rap now. Like you don't want your little kids to go around those guys.
Yeah, they have. That's the problem.
I mean, they've gotten a bad.
Well, there's
rap.
there's some you know dirty
there's been
dudes.
Incidents?
Yeah, there's dirty dudes in those ice cream trucks sometimes.
It's a shame.
Remember, you don't have to like you know go through a union to get that job. You buy a truck, you buy ice cream, you
buy
drive
a truck
around.
And
do you need an operator's license?
Run up there, mom and dad running behind him. You ain't going without me to make sure.
Exactly.
All right, so it's good you bring up dirty dudes here because we had an incident. This happened on live television. Now, when you're going, and Joe can probably touch on this a little more, but when you're out there outside of a game and you're interviewing fans as they leave the game and it's live TV. You're setting yourself up
for a little bit
of trouble, right?
Yeah. So, that is 100% correct.
So here we go. This is outside of the Raptors game with a Raptors fan on live TV in Canada.
You guys were down in Jurassic Park, right? What was it like down there?
The vibe was unreal. I just want to let everyone know, Aisha Curry, we're going to f*** her in the...
Was that Jameis Winston?
I don't know what the laws are in Canada, but this guy was arrested.
No.
The Toronto Police Service says that this guy was arrested for criminal mischief.
Come on.
Since he knew his comments would air on live TV, and a court date has been set for July 11th. Credit to the guy, though. They tracked him down. The Toronto Sun tracked him down. He said, I'm not in a position to defend myself in terms of what happened. I am sure you understand the influence of alcohol. What I did was disgraceful. It was an alcohol-influenced situation.
Arrested? This happens.
The guy also said, to be honest, I don't ever remember being there.
Good for him.
No, that's so good for him.
That's I respect the guy
coming out and saying he's a drunk idiot. I respect that.
Yeah,
come on. You don't remember what you said.
I blacked out. I don't remember.
Guys, we're down in Jurassic Park, right? What was it like down there?
The vibe was unreal. I just want to let everyone know, Aisha Curry, we're going to f***ing the...
Damn, bro.
It was Jameis.
That
was pretty funny.
That was fun. He got arrested for that?
That poor girl that's doing that interview, she's going live and doing that. Thought was going to be a nice fluff piece. We're going to win, and we're so excited, and we got Kawhi, and they don't, and you get that.
Good for them.
Anyway, we got to go to break. Hey, we get back here. We're gonna close out this this whole steak and ketchup thing. Jason Smith, executive chef at Steak 954.
I got to become good friends with this guy.
One of the big dogs of the steak industry is going to join us, and we're going to find out, and we're going to tell him we need the honest. Don't give a fluff. We want the truth.
Yeah,
about the Josh Friedmans of the world.
That's right.
I like my meat the way I like it.
Wow, what
there
happened?
You have it.
Jeez. He likes his meat.
He likes his meat and a lot of it.
And a lot.
And a
I
lot
like
of
my
it.
Meat the way I like it.
Mm. All right, listen, we got to go.
Just happy you're not calling him Big Josh this morning.
I like my meat
the way I
like it. I
didn't mean that the way it came out, Big Josh.
I'm just saying. I like my meat the way I like it.
Can you stop?
He likes his meat.
I like my meat the way I like it.
See, now he's just going to, seriously.
Worst thing you can do is get caught in a drop like that on a radio station. I'm just letting you know that.
I know, but
at least I left the last couple words and I just made it, I like my meat.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I like my meat the way
stop!
I like it.
You could have stopped it there. You're right, it would have been much
you
worse.
You know what? All
right.
I'm going to have you guys. Radio.com.
Radio.com. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.